Hello everyone, this is Asclepius with another installment of the thrilling story from Lendrick entitled Rise of the Ravagers, Chapter 4. Music by Smart Sound. Chapter 4, City Life. 2 days later, city outskirts of Brittany. The rain finally let up as Glyndrell and Alexius made their way south towards Brittany and hopefully able to finally catch up with Slifania. There were many times where Glyndrell had to catch himself and think twice about what he was doing, and did he really feel the feelings he thought he felt? Shaking his head forlornly to himself, it was thinking like that which would muddle the mind and cause him to doubt himself. Focus on what's at hand and what's at stake. Slifania's family are worried sick, and it's up to Glyndrell to not only catch up with her, but see if he can make her see sense through the charms and manipulations of this so-called wizard. Slifania wouldn't even know he was following her, and had she, would she have attempted to stop him? To somehow lay some trap to thwart his progress? Destiny has a funny time with situations such as these. What, for example, had he not ever met her that fateful day? He would have been none the wiser, and certainly wouldn't be far from home now, moving into human territory to a city that he had never visited and could be deadly and hostile, all on the off chance that... What? She will run into his arms and declare her undying love and gratitude for him following her? More likely, she will despise and hate him even more. And that wizard might even turn him into a frog. Still, a frog wouldn't have this... No, he must stop being so negative. Focus on the goal at hand. Focus. Glyndrell must have been shaking his head or muttering more than he thought, as it drew Alexius's attention, who gave him an incredulous look.
Everything all right, Glyn?
Yeah, well, no, well, I don't know. Maybe you're right in some respects. What am I doing? Out here. Dragged you away from home. And for what? I sometimes second-guessed my intentions and motivations, and wonder what I actually hope to accomplish if I catch up to her.
Well, we're going to know soon enough,
Alexius indicated with his head, and Glyndrell looked up. The town gates were a sight to behold, with a large line of traffic flowing in and out.
It's massive, Glyndrell breathed in awe. I've never seen anything so big. And how did they construct this?
The castle looming in the distance.
Must be magic,
Alexius replied offhandedly, and didn't seem to be as impressed as Glyndrell. With these many people, surely they won't mind a couple more elves, no? Glyndrell stated hopefully.
I would expect not. We don't present as bandits or thieves. We'll just have to play it by a pointy ear.
They moved steadily towards the gate, flowing into the line of slow-moving traffic. And eventually, inexorably, they approached the gates and their perspective changed, zooming into the guard booths flanking the gates and a pair of what must be city watch guards checking everyone as they passed through.
What be your business in Brittany then, lads? The guard stated,
and brought Glyndrell out of his daze of being overwhelmed to realise he was being addressed.
We're looking for a friend who we believe came this way a few days prior, replied Glyndrell, thinking that the truth was always the best.
Well, okay, but you'll have to check your weapons,
the guard replied, and indicated to their bows and daggers on their belts. Glyndrell was loath to give up his ability to defend himself, and if needed, hunt for food, but also didn't want to cause any trouble, and expected they should have them returned to them
upon their departure. Glyndrill gave Alexius a nod to indicate to give up the weapons, and unshouldered his bow, pulling out the dagger from his belt and handing it to the guard, hilt first. The guards placed a number on each, and then gave the two a corresponding scrap of parchment with the same number on it.
"For when you leave, don't lose that, or you won't be getting these back. On your way, then."
They kept moving, not wanting to hold up the line for others. Upon entering the city, the sights and sounds and smells to Glyndrill were assaulting his senses from all sides. Glyndrill started to feel claustrophobic from the intense hustle and bustle. The street they were in was called King's Walk, and it curved away into the distance, lined by shops and filled with people of all shapes and sizes. There must have been thousands of people to a one, and Glyndrill was starting to wish for his green forests and diamond falls. It was very overwhelming. Looking to Alexius for support, he seemed to be taking it all in his stride, which Glyndrill found little comfort in.
"Been here before, have we?" Glyndrill had to almost shout to be heard. "Yeah, my uncle used to bring me here when I was little to do trading. Been used to it ever since," replied Alexius.
"So what do we do now? Where do we go?" yelled Glyndrill.
"First thing is to find ourselves an inn, so we can get rid of these packs and have something to eat. Follow me, and I'll lead you to a nice establishment my uncle used to visit. It's called the Dusty Cutlass Inn, and although somewhat rowdy sometimes, they got some pirates now and then. The food is delicious, and the bed's soft," said Alexius.
Glyndrill merely nodded and followed his friend. As they walked, having to push their way through the crowd, it was all Glyndrill could do to keep his friend in sight, and after traversing numerous side streets, Alexius indicated to Glyndrill and pointed. Off in the distance was a two-story building, and out the front a sign that read, "The Dusty Cutlass," with a cutlass hanging underneath. Approaching the inn, Glyndrill noticed a young human boy, no more than maybe 7 or 8, quickly walk up behind one woman and quickly cut the purse strings that held a pouch around her waist. With a frightened yelp and scream, the young boy disappeared into the crowd and was gone. Glyndrill's eyes flared and yelled out, just about to run after him, when Alexius grabbed an arm.
"Don't bother, he'll be long gone now, and that purse palmed off to numerous others. You'll never find it or recover her money."
Alexius was matter-of-fact about it and seemed resigned. Glyndrill still fumed about the injustice of it all.
"City life, I guess, my friend," Alexius added,
attempting to allay Glyndrill's temper.
"Come on, let's get inside before we are next."
Alexius let go of Glyndrill's arm and entered the inn, Glyndrill still feeling outraged. The Dusty Cutlass was a modest-looking establishment on the inside and got its namesake from the cutlass relic mounted above the bar, which was never cleaned, and thereby covered in grime, soot, and, of course, dust. The innkeeper was a portly fellow with rosy cheeks and beard. Recognition in his eyes upon seeing Alexius got a hearty handshake.
"Aye, me lad, haven't seen you in years. Look at you now, how's your uncle?"
"Passed away, I'm afraid, my good, Trent, wasn't it?" "Yeah, he had a nasty run-in when a pack of kobolds," Alexius lamented, a sorrowful look passing over his face.
"Kobolds, really? That's not how I pictured him going out. What can I get for you and your friend?"
We need a room, 2 separate beds, and 2 ales. We've travelled a long way," said Alexius.
"Aye, I have a room that would suit, and the ales are on me as a parting gift for your uncle."
"Thank ye, we really appreciate it," Alexius replied.
Thank you, very kind of you," Glyndrill stammered, still overwhelmed by the city and now from some child stealing to a generous innkeeper. Glyndrill just wanted to curl up and sleep.
Find a seat, I will bring out your ale, and Grace here will see to your things and make up the room for you.
Thank you again, you have been most generous with my family, Trent. Alexius shook his hand again.
The two sat down and looked about while waiting for their drinks. The inn was busy, as it was around midday, and everyone was having their midday meal. The ale was brought out in short order, and while bitter, was cool and refreshing. Glyndrill almost downed his in a single gulp.
"Whoa, easy there. I don't want to have to carry you upstairs," Alexius exclaimed.
Glyndrill returned him with a watery look and loud belch.
"That was good for sure," Glyndrill slurred. "Don't drink much, do you? No more for you, then."
Alexius drank, but not nearly so fast.
"After this, let's get some rest before evening, and then we can ask around about Slifania."
Glyndrill yawned and laid his head down on the table. "Good idea. I'm sick of travelling." When Alexius finished his ale, the two slowly ascended to their room, which was discovered to be neat and clean, fresh sheets, a bath with hot rocks and steaming water, with clean towels and their belongings neatly stacked in a corner. Glyndrill made a beeline to the first bed and, without undressing, collapsed on top of it. He was asleep before his head even touched the pillow. To be continued.